The views expressed in the following program do not represent the views of the staff and management of WGBB AM 1240 in Freeport, but they really ought to. I should know. I've done about a 99 and a half of these. This will be number 100. It's called Dave's Gone By. And it starts right now.
Tropical hot dog night. Like two flamingos in a fruit fight. Every color of day. Whirling around at night.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Welcome to the 100th episode of Dave's Gone By. I'm Dave Lefkowitz, radio personality, theater critic, humorist, and nihilistic humanist, and we've been doing these happy little programs since October 6th, 2002, and 99 episodes later, here we are, number 100 on this November 4th. 2004. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for supporting this show with your emails, your letters, your listenership. Thank you to my sponsors, TobalTheater.com, publishers of Performing Arts Insider, Theater Magazine, Hewlett-Minuteman Press for all your copying and printing needs, and Quiznos of Hewlett, satisfying your hunger with tasty toasty soups and snacks and sandwiches. So let me do a brief history of Dave's Gone By. It started like this. About 3 years ago, I was working full-time for an entertainment website that shall remain nameless, and it was a good gig, but there were some shifts in management, and I started to feel disenchanted, disrespected, dismayed, and this ain't right. And the nail in the proverbial coffin was that when this organization began making inroads into internet radio, 3 years before the big Howard Stern announcement, by the way, they were there at the infancy, this website asked me to help find someone to run the whole radio side of things. They were looking for someone to do the programming on air and behind the scenes. And I suggested that this someone might be the very person they were talking to find another someone. They made a half-hearted attempt to give me a chance, but they really had no intention of letting me move from what I was doing into this new area. It wasn't even a promotion. It was a sideways move. Just something interesting and different and ostensibly more creative, which is the carrot you can dangle in front of me any time and expect me to salivate like Homer Simpson at a food emporium. But anyway, that was the antenna that broke this camel's back, and I eventually left the company. But the seed of radio, which had been implanted in me from childhood, started to germinate again. You see, I loved radio as a kid. Television, too. But I didn't see that that big a division between them. You could sit in front of both and twiddle the dial or just leave them on in the background, or you had shows that weren't required viewing or required listening. There were things I liked watching on TV and shows I loved hearing on the radio. The folk songs of Woody's Children, that's Bob Sherman's old show on QXR, now on FUV. Father Bill Ayers on PLJ because he played a lot of Springsteen and Dylan. For a while, I loved WKTU-FM, when it was a folk and ballad station. That was in the pre-disco era. And then, of course, Dr. Demento. That was mind-blowing. I wasn't kidding a couple of weeks ago when I said that having my song, Jeopardy Ken, recently played on the Dr. D show was a dream fulfilled. This is a man I was listening to when I was 11 years old, and I mean religiously. You could not tear me away from the radio on Saturday nights for 2 hours because Dr. Demento was beautifully whopping my brain. And here I was, little me, who listened to Tom Lehrer and Monty Python and Benny Bell and George Carlin on that program, joining them, at least for one glorious moment. But the point is that radio isn't, or doesn't have to be, the red-headed stepchild of TV, the thing you put on in the car because you're trapped and can't have what you really want, television. Radio can be its own miracle. To paraphrase La Cage aux Folles, it's its own special creation. And the fact that we've denigrated radio, made it nothing more than a glorified jukebox or an inglorious soapbox. But of course, the people who love radio, who care about what it can be, they still find the distinctive things, For some people, it would be Live at the Opera at the Met. For others, NPR or Harry Shearer, Opie and Anthony. Some of the specialty programs on WFMU. And I wanted to be part of that feeling. I never saw myself as a typical radio DJ a la Cousin Brucey or Wolfman Jack, the AM radio people. Even more normal ones, not the ones with a 1950s shtick. I figured my style was a bit different. It wasn't about, hey everybody, this is your loving Uncle Dave coming at you from the big little town of Babylon, where the eastest with the leastest on the Suffolk South Shore, bing bing. I mean, that's kind of an art form, not sure what kind, but it's not something I could do even if I wanted to. Anybody who's listened to this program for more than 2 minutes knows that my style is different. Not so different from, say, Vin Scelza on Idiot's Delight, or Garrison Keillor, or even some of the folks who are still at FUV. But at the same time, it's mixed with Howard Stern, it's influenced by Dr. Demento, it's echoing Bob and Ray, and it's all good. Well, not all good, but the key is that it comes together into one thing every week called Days Gone By, and the eclecticism sprang out of a happy accident, really. When I first decided, yes, I want to do a radio show, I'm gonna do a radio show. It's not like Steven Spielberg came to me and said, wow, Dave, great idea. Here's $12 million, go start a station. It was more like, okay, I'm a 38-year-old man, just out of a job he hated in a field with few prospects. I think I'll go into radio. Who cares? And of course, the challenge was to make people care. Now, the first lesson of business, 101, even Donald Trump teaches it on his program. And you can trust Donald Trump because he went bankrupt twice, and he's still a billionaire. Anybody who can con that many people into thinking he knows something has to know something, right? Well, one of the few good lessons of The Apprentice is that it really helps to like what you're doing to do it really well. You have to know a lot about it, do your homework, but you also have to care about it. If you don't care, they won't care. Or at least that's the prevailing wisdom of people who have enough money to sound convincing when they make those kinds of pronouncements. But I think there are millions of people in the world who do fine work doing jobs they couldn't give a crap about just for a paycheck. Salespeople who bill $3 million a year and can't wait just to make enough commission to retire. But if you're gonna do something by the skin of your teeth, start up your own business, you better do what you love and love what you do. Which presented me with a couple of options. Well, I was thinking about creating a radio program. One, theater. I love the theater. I've been a regular theater goer since my college days 20 years ago, and I've been a professional theater critic since 1988, so it made sense to do a theater show. Certainly not a new idea, nothing terribly radical about it. Talk about shows, review them, play show tunes, maybe a quiz, interviews. A little less stodgy than the usual theater show, but within the same framework. So I talked to experts. And I don't mean useless consultant-type experts who go, WMBC. I mean people who are actually doing that kind of thing. And I got two basic responses. The first was, hey, I'm already doing a show like that. Why are you muscling in on my turf? Or, hey, I wanted to do a show like that, but the market is pretty saturated, and the audience is too old to appeal to advertisers, and the stations that want theater shows already have them, and those that don't have theater shows are playing Jay-Z and Jessica Simpson, not Jerry Orbach and Jonathan Pryce. So I was discouraged, to say the least. And also in the back of my mind, there was a little gremlin, because I traded in my Honda for a gremlin, and the gremlin said, listen, you would enjoy a theater program. You'd like talking to the actors, and especially the actresses, and you'd like the music and showing off how much you know about what's on Broadway and stuff, but there'd be something missing, because you'd have to limit your theater show to theater. You couldn't play rock and roll or novelty tunes unless they were somehow connected to a Broadway show. You couldn't do a comedy sketch or go off on a rant about politics or elevators or onion rings or whatever. And my gremlin would continue to say, Dave, I know you. Because, well, I'm lodged inside your head. Who am I going to know? Meredith Vieira? I know you. And the more you'd be constricted to just one thing, the more you'd feel constricted about everything. So I opened the doors of perception a little and thought, okay, well, why just a theater show? Why just a music show? Why not an everything show? And think about it. Within the course of an hour, what do a lot of us do? We flip the TV remote control through 40 or 50 channels, gain blips of this and blops of that, then settling on two or three different shows that we go back and forth from during commercials. 10 minutes of CSI, then over to 3 minutes of baseball game, back to 8 minutes of CSI, 2 minutes of Extreme Makeover, 2 minutes of baseball game, back to CSI, and maybe somewhere in that hour, a trip to the bathroom, a snack in the kitchen, a quick phone call, and a magazine you're flipping through while thinking about what you'll do at work tomorrow. I mean, these days, even when we relax, we multitask. So why not multitask radio? A smorgasbord, a panoply, a potpourri for 200, Alex. And very quickly, the idea for Days Gone By came together. A little bit of everything. One segment about theater, a comedy bit, a funny song, a serious song, an interview with someone famous or completely obscure, a monologue about something irking me, and it's hard work being irked, if you don't want to sound like a jerk. Some jokes about the news. Leno can do it, Jon Stewart can do it, Tina Fey, why not me? And maybe some recurring comic characters the way you'd find on Steve Allen or Mad TV. And early on, the idea was to do a bunch of stuff, see what worked, and then build a show about the segment that really took off. But that idea subsided pretty quickly because sometimes they were all good ideas, and sometimes they came off great, sometimes not so hot or dumb or boring. It's not like I have a high-paid staff of writers here, but the next time I might pull it off and create something really memorable. So I started with a hodgepodge, and I kept doing that ever since the very first program, October 6th, 2002. And WGBB was back in Merrick, Long Island, at that point. And let me explain, because those of you not so familiar with the station are prone to think of it as Freeport, AM 1240, WGBB, Freeport, which it technically is. The tower, the transmitter, is in Freeport, Long Island, and has been since GBB was first put on the map in 1924 from a garage on Goodell Street. It's actually one of the oldest stations in the country, the oldest, on Long Island. And it's relatively close to where I live, so when I thought about the places that might be interested in an everything show, GBB was up there with my first choices. The tower was in Freeport, the studios just across town in Merrick, a couple of blocks from the Long Island Rail, so I made a deal with the station manager at that time, Joey Alcarese, and she gave me a Sunday night slot to try things out. Because, if you've got something new and offbeat, and from what she could tell, possibly not for all family members, they throw it on late Sunday night because nobody's listening. Least of all, the FCC. And I remember my first night at the station. I had pre-recorded some bits, but most of it was live. So I was a tiny bit nervous, and the place was chaotic. There was one main room the size of a small living room, a studio behind that with equipment that worked most of the time, and an engineer who wasn't happy unless he was doing 300 things at once. And even at those 250 of those things, didn't have to be done until later or at all. I mean, he was a really sweet guy, and quite competent and extremely knowledgeable. But I was looking to ease into a warm, comfortable bath. Instead, I felt like I was hustled in and out of a cold shower in a psycho ward, which was kind of fun in its own way, and I made it through the first episode without any major gaffes or disasters or even minor mishaps, actually. I'm pretty proud of that, and I still have the first episode. In fact, I have almost all of them. In fact, hint, hint, you can buy them on CD or cassette from the very first one all the way up to last week's. And, they're nice. They've got jewel cases and covers and track listings and everything. All the information is at my website, DavesGoneBy.com. So before I get to the rest of the Dave's Gone By story, let's hear a little bit of that very first show, broadcast on a late Sunday night over 2 years ago. Amazing what I crammed into that hour. I take more time on segments now. I like to give things a chance to breathe. But back then, it was about trying all different things and fitting into this tiny little hour. So there was a news gone by, I did a World Weird Web, which was a segment about Shuby Taylor. I talked about Spalding Gray. Now, this was following one of his suicide attempts, but before he actually did himself in. I did a book review of a biography of Neil Young. I played a John Lennon song to honor his birthday that week. And there was a special appearance by my good friend, Rabbi Saul Solomon. I mean, I really packed into that episode, number one, titled First Things First. So much stuff. But the show started like this.
Well, hi everybody. I'm David Lefkowitz, and welcome to Dave's Gone By. It's a brand new show on WGBB. I hope you like it. It's going to be something a little different. It's going to be something that pops the peas a little bit in the microphone, something that rattles the table, something that I don't think it will break a few things, but the idea is just to have something a little bit different from everything else on the AM and FM dial. Well, not 100% different. There are some shows, I guess, that you could say were influences on what we're trying to do here, like Incorrect Music or Dr. Demento or Idiot's Delight or Glenn Jones on radio station WFMU. It's a mix of all that, of comedy, talk, music, weird stuff, fun stuff. I hope you listen in. I hope you like it. Why am I doing it? Because I love radio. I have pretty much all my life. I like the variety. I like the intimacy, the sharing of music and thoughts. And as I said, the show is a mix of everything. It may fall into a pattern at some point, but I'm going to try and keep it fairly loose and fairly free, hopefully with a lot of the emphasis on humor. And I don't anticipate really offending anybody, but at the same time, this is not for the kids. This is not a show you're going to see on Saturday morning TV. The idea here is to express things fairly freely as long as we don't make the FCC mad. Hope we can do that. I'll probably wind up with 14 listeners, but they will be fans.
Now, I'm not sure if my voice back then was a little higher and faster because I was a little younger and quicker, or just the way it was recorded. The calibration on the cassette deck might have been a smidgen off, but better faster than slower. It would suck if I were like, "Hi, welcome to Dave's Gone By." I get through one monologue and two commercials, and that would be the hour. But in that first episode, I think you can hear me trying to think on the feet, which is why I script more things these days. And I went right into the news gone by that night, which began with a story about the Long Island Railroad.
Just to look at some of the items and events that have been happening in the past week in Long Island and America, I've got to start, of course, with something local just a couple of blocks away, the Great Long Island Railroad Sexcapade, which essentially happened in Merrick. It's the home of WGBB. I know they say it's in Freeport, but technically I think it's in Merrick. Anyway, this is from the New York Post from September 22nd. Meet the Strap Bangers. Only the New York Post would start a story like that. A Long Island couple and the hubby's brother gave new meaning to riding the rails yesterday when they treated stunned commuters to a raunchy three-way sex romp on the Babylon Line of the Long Island Railroad, police said, and when ordered to uncouple, they refused. Lyle Green, his wife, and his brother boarded the 6:05 a.m. local train to at Penn Station to return home to Wantagh. They've been partying all night, and, quote, the three of them were having sex, police spokesman Tom Kelly confirmed. That aroused the ire of 25 passengers in the car. One reported it to the conductor, ordered the three to stop, and they didn't. The conductor then notified the cops, who arrested the three when the train stopped in Merrick. They were taken to the precinct station house in Baldwin and charged with public lewdness. Well, first of all, Long Island Railroad public relations should really play this up. It's the first sexy image the railroad has had since that original train going into a tunnel metaphor. And the other thing is, I just don't think the railroad wants to publicize all this because, let's face it, it's probably the first time any commuter on the LIRR ever came early. But thank you very much.
Ba-dum-bum. My big first punchline, huh? not quite bad pun of the week caliber, but I'm on my way. And I ended up doing a couple more episodes of Days Gone By amidst the late night chaos of the crazy engineer, his girlfriend, a stray cat in the studio, other evening show hosts, including a band that played on Don Lewis's show, the program preceding mine, and a couple of technically iffy episodes, but then I settled in and got pretty comfortable pretty quick. In fact, after a couple of weeks, Joey, the station manager, came to me and said, you know, if you want, we can take you out of the 11 o'clock slot and put you on at 8, which I jumped at. I mean, apart from going up against The Simpsons, it was like a kid in Hollywood being promoted out of the mailroom and given a small office with a window. More than even having my life made easier by the earlier time slot, it was a vote of confidence. It was the radio station saying, we like what you're doing. It's right for us. We don't have anything else to put on Sunday night at 8. But anyway, I stayed happily in that time slot for several months and would have remained there, but radio being radio, circumstances arose that were beyond my control or comprehension. Something happened between management and management, and the top management fired the middle management, and there was some quitting involved as well. And it got pretty ugly and confusing for a while. As Joey left the station, engineer Paul, who had settled into a real groove with the show, he left with her, and then not too long after, the station left. The building WGBB was in, a corner place on Lansdowne Avenue, just off Sunrise Highway in Merrick. Well, the lease was up, the building owner didn't want the station as a tenant anymore, so last summer, WGBB packed up its 5 rooms and headed out east. Yippee-ki-yi-yo. And again, the antenna stayed in Freeport, but all the equipment, the files, the workings of WGBB emigrated to Babylon, Long Island, just off Sunrise Highway, here on Route 109. It wasn't exactly a joy for show hosts who live closer to the city to now have to schlep out to Babylon, especially in icky weather. So GBB lost some people, but that's always the way in radio. Other people came on board. And I stayed, moving from Sunday nights to Monday nights. In fact, there was even a point when the show was an hour and a half, and that was kind of fun. But the best part of Monday nights? I'll tell you what that was right after these messages.
Print it, copy it, send it as a gift. All that and more at Hewlett Minuteman Press. Full-service printer, family-owned and operated since 1975. Photocopying, printing, invitations, engraved gifts. Minuteman, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett. Call 516-569-5577, 569-5577, or on the web at hewlett.minutemanpress.com. Mention Dave's Gone By and get a special price.
Quiznos of Hewlett is tasty and yummy. Delicious flatbreads that ease down your tummy. Sandwiches piled up on artisan bread. Pass by that Subway's, eat Quiznos instead. Turkey and roast beef and tuna and ham. Quiznos of Hewlett's the place where they am. Ken is the bald guy who serves all the meals. If you're a student, there's all kinds of deals. When I'm hungry, when I'm thirsty, when I'm really spaced, to Quiznos on Broadway in Hewlett I go to toastily feed my face. Quiznos of Hewlett, toasty tasty.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By, the 100th episode of this program. And I'm tracing the history of the show along with some highlights. We're just at the point where Dave's Gone By moved from Sunday nights to primetime Monday nights. More high profile, different audience, but the best part was getting to work with a very cool and simpatico engineer, Joe Salzone. I was a little wary of him because he had barely turned 20 years old, and he was this cocky right-wing Republican with this attitude, and we all have it in this business. It's, if I pay my dues now, I'll be running this station by the time I'm 23, which, who knows, he might still. But actually, Joe turned out to be a really great guy. I've appeared on his show, Your World with Joe Salzone, a bunch of times, and he's been on Dave's Gone By probably more times than any other guest, apart from Saul Solomon. And I had the pleasure of being up all night with Joe, no, not that way, 2 nights ago for Armageddon. Well, better known as Election Night, Joe was on the air almost continuously from 6 p.m. to 6 in the morning with a small team of people helping him cover presidential election returns. And I was part of that team. I sat in from like midnight to 6, also helping run the board. And I was in a miserable mood because I felt in my bones that Bush was going to lose. I had woken up that morning, the skies were ominous, and the night before they had that little dinky-ass town in Pennsylvania where everybody voted at once, and they showed it on TV, and the polls closed by 10 at night on November 1st, because everyone had already voted. And when the majority of those folks went for Bush, I had a feeling in my gut there was going to be trouble. So I was in a really rotten temper during the election coverage on TVB, making vicious anti-Republican wisecracks all night long. And Joe stayed cool, objective, laughing at my jokes, taking my opinion seriously, and it was a blast. I wish the outcome had been different, of course, but spending 6 hours with Joe and Dennis and Tom and the rest of the team almost made the night more bearable. So I'm quite lucky that Joe engineered a bunch of my shows, and he's appeared on sketches and commercials I've done. I'm giving him this big build-up because he says all these really nice things about me. Let's listen.
Hello, Joe Salzone.
Hello. What the hell's your name? Dave Lefkowitz?
Yeah, that's me, man. All right. You're going to do something nice.
You wish me well.
You've
got all these, you know, you've got all these names. I forget who you are sometimes.
Well, I'm Dave. I'm Dave, and have been Dave for 100 episodes.
Hello, Dan. Dave, whatever.
Yeah. Any thoughts on my show, me?
You know what? I've worked with you since you started. You were here a few months before we started working together. And since the first time we got to work together on your show and various other projects, I found you to be an absolute, a great guy, great talent. But you know what? If you're listening to his show and you don't know him off the air, you don't know just how funny he actually is off the air. When he's, you know, his hands aren't tied, no holds barred, the language flows. It's a lot of fun. He's a great guy. His show is tremendous, and we hope that one day we'll listen to Dave's Gone By in cities and states and countries around the world.
Wow!
But that's just me.
Joe Salzone, I only wish I could say the same about you.
No, it's been great to work with you,
and 100 more, and best of luck on your shows, of course, too, which are
Your World, of course, every Sunday night at 7, and various other things. No more election coverage, though. We're done with that.
Well, let me ask you,
yeah.
Since this is airing like 2 days after,
sure.
What are your thoughts about that? I mean, I'm taping this just as you're coming off doing about 12 hours of straight coverage.
And it's amazing you catch me when I start with my voice.
Yeah.
I think it was truly, you know, I did it objectively, but I found it so amazing, you know, and I said this anecdote a couple of times during the coverage. I sat at home in 2000 watching the elections on television and thinking to myself, you know, one day I'll be behind the microphone doing this myself, and here I am, you know, 2004, the most important election, really, of our lifetimes, doing the coverage and crunching the numbers, and thanks to our tremendous team we had together.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Dave.
WGBB radio host Joe Salzone saying terrific things about me. Hey, it's my 100th show. I've earned the right to be a little self-indulgent. And as I said, it's been a pleasure to work with Joe and Tom Ross, program director and my current engineer on Thursday nights. It's also been thanks to both Joe and Tom that I've had the opportunity to do another program on WGBB, Filler Up. It's an hour after Dave's Gone By. It airs 9 to 10 on Thursday nights. The show started when I realized that there were time slots on the station that were just being filled with any old thing. Most of it veiled Christian family crap, appealing to the kind of numbnuts who put Bush back in office. So I figured, when the radio station was indulgent, let me do something more NPR, more FUV. An hour of music by cool people in various mediums, jazz, rock, folk, pop, starting as a kind of fill-in show. And now it has a semi-permanent place on the Thursday night schedule. And again, that's all by the good grace of station manager Jeff Lowe, program director Tom Ross, and engineers Dennis and Joe. But enough ass-kissing. Back to the story. Which is basically that. Dave's Gone By found its shape pretty early, refined it as the weeks went on, and has now become very happily what it is, an hour of smart talk, silly talk, special talk, and music, and comedy. That was always the number one selling point. People get a smile, or a chuckle, or the occasional belly laugh, they're going to come back for more, which is why I did sketches like this one, that aired back on September 22, 2003. There had been a story in Newsday about Long Island poets writing haiku, a very particular form of verse. Three lines, 17 syllables total, five, seven, five in the last line, on topics very specific to our way of life on the South Shore. Well, of course, that inspired me to write some Long Island haiku of my own, and they sounded something like this.
Driving home from work. Cut off by an SUV. Kill, 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 kill! Here's a recent poem from the Five Towns area. New neighbors arrive. Black hats, beards, long dresses, wigs. At least they're not schwarz. One female poet writes, my nails, red, dripping, like blood on my fingertips, staining my cell phone. From the male point of view, what is an end zone? It is a faraway place. From Testa Verde. I'll tell you, jerkwad, what's worse than 9/11? The New York Mets are. Another sports poem. Wanna go bowling? I can't, my back. Youp! F you! No, F you! Children and teenagers are also writing poems, expressing their innermost needs and fears. For example, I can't go to school. My friends will make fun of me. Damn you, hair salon. Hey, can you go in and buy us a pack of smokes? That dothead hates kids. Other snapshots of modern teenage life may be found in these haikus. For example, practice tomorrow, scrimmages, tackles, new game plan. Please God, no broomsticks. My boyfriend's so wise. He says if we go real fast, I won't get pregnant. The Long Island haiku captures the essence, the specialness, and monotony of suburban living, such as 100 channels of bad films and home shopping, and not one porno. Listen, officer, there's no trouble here. She fell. She does that a lot. For 35 years, we voted Republican. What were we smoking? Three to Lindenhurst. How much? How much? What machine? Step up, fair my ass! One last haiku. Let's face it, where would poetry be without an element of the religious, the spiritual? Bless me, Father Jones. You are forgiven, my son. Now take off your pants.
Ah, the sweet beauty of poetry. And we've done real poetry on Dave's Gone By, including tributes to Joyce Kilmer, Langston Hughes, and Arthur Rimbaud. We have recurring segments like Dave Goes Off, Inside Broadway, The World Weird Web, and The News Gone By. And guests, absolutely wonderful, fun guests from people like Tom Paxton and Karen Grassley, Neil Sedaka and Neil Innes, to the band's October Project and Housewives on Prozac. In fact, the Housewives had so much fun when they visited the neighborhood last Christmas, they actually put excerpts on their new CD. I'm not kidding. I want to give them a big plug here. Joy Rose and the gang have put out a novelty single last year called I Broke My Arm Christmas Shopping at the Mall, catchy comedy number that I played a couple of times on the show. While Joy and Kyle Ann Burt visited the studio with drummer Donna Kelly on the phone, they sang a little a cappella, but mostly chatted and goofed around. And now the Housewives have taken short snippets of that segment and included them on their full-length Christmas album, I Broke My Arm, Christmas Shopping at the Mall, and others. I guess I'm part of the others. And I'm really flattered that they included me in this. It's really sweet. Here's just a taste.
Yeah, look who just came in! Oh my, Santa Claus, what are you doing here? I didn't know you were going to come early. Santa!
He came early and often.
According to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, both male reindeer and female reindeer grow antlers in the summer each year. Male reindeer, however, drop their antlers at the beginning of winter, usually late November to mid-December. Female reindeer retain their antlers till after they give birth in the spring. Therefore, according to every historical rendition depicting Santa's reindeer, every single one of them, from Rudolph to Blitzen, had to be a girl. We should have known only women, while pregnant, would be able to drag a fat man in a red velvet suit all around the world in one night and not get lost.
Housewives on Prozac from their brand new CD, available at their website, housewivesonprozac.com. And that joking around before the music started was recorded live on a cold December night on Dave's Gone By. I don't play as much music on the show as I'd like to. It's one of the reasons I enjoy doing the Filler Up program. But I do sometimes indulge my own musical instincts, for better or worse, mostly worse. I mentioned before I had my Jeopardy 10 song make Dr. Demento a few weeks ago. That was a thrill. But there were other songs he wouldn't or perhaps couldn't play, like this one. Another seat, another bowl, another log comes out my hole. It's really pleasing when I'm a squeezing and making boobies. I pull my shorts below my rump. I read the sports and take a dump. It's brown and shiny, straight from the hiney that's making boobies. Sometimes I sit for ages, waiting so patiently. Though my intestine rages, nuggets are all I see. I eat some bran and have some juice, run to the can and shake it loose. I wipe my tushy when it gets mushy from making poopies. My little rectum, it does the job, be it a hot dog or just a pop. It's such a passion to feel the splashing of making poopies. I grit my teeth and hug my gut, while underneath I hear a strut. It always happens with all my crappings. I'm making poopies. One day my gut got swollen. I chalked it up to gas. But when I touched my colon, blood shot out of my ass. Now I feel warm, and it's a drag. 'Cause when I go, it's in a bag. I miss the odors of all the floaters when making poopies. So listen here, I recommend that once a year, check your rear end. Just find a docto to do a procto. He'll stick a finger of your gazinga. You'll scream and yelp, but it may help in making poopies. Did I mention this program was rated DGB-13? That was a failsafe I came up with early on to warn people, not so much for their benefit, but to cover my ass legally. That song, basically, about keeping your ass uncovered, is on a 5-song EP I have in limited release. It's called 5 Daves. We'll hear another track from it at the end of the show. But first, I have a special guest who apparently wants to wish me well on my success and my future in his own inimitable way.
Mazel tov, mazel tov, Kinder, und für alle sein Gesehen.
Congratulations!
Shalom, goddammit. This is Rabbi Saul Solomon of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York. And I want to tell you something. The success that I have had in my career, the boost I've had in my congregation, the recognition I get from my peers and my sub-peers, I owe absolutely none of that to my good friend, Dave Lefkowitz. What? You don't think I have connections of my own, huh? You don't think I'm capable of my own spin? Please. We didn't survive for 5,000 years without a little bit of chutzpah and moxie. Or is it moxie and chutzpah? I don't know. Mutzpah. Anywho, Dave has often let me be a guest on his fine program. More than a guest, sometimes a guest host when he was out of town. And he has treated me like the brother he never had. Like the brother Cain used to have. Oh, and I know it hasn't always been easy. Few people complain about the Dave's Gone My program, but the few people who do complain, complain about me. I don't know why. I try to be charming, convivial, understanding of these sons of bitches' points of view. But time and again I hear, oh, Rabbi, how can you use such language? Rabbi, how can you talk about sex? Rabbi, why don't you shower occasionally? But I have answers to all these questions. First, the language. Words are just words. They're English letters put together by a bunch of people living in ancient Latin or wherever the hell ancient Puerto Ricans come from. They're sounds, phonemes, consonants, and vowels. They mean nothing by themselves, and consequently mean only what you hear them to mean. If I shout, "Stoop you!" behind the back of a deaf person, I might as well be shouting, "Hey, nice hands!" The saying is true. Sticks and stones may break your bones, especially if, like me, you're pre-osteoporotic, but names, words, heh! There's only one word you mustn't say, and by mustn't, I mean must not. You must not say the Hebrew name of God. That is the only word in the entire lexicon of the universe that you better shush with, or God will wash your mouth out with fire. And leave it to the goyim. Jews, they spell it out in the Torah, yud hey vav hey, four letters, but we don't say it. It is not meant to be pronounced. It's too holy, too sacred. But goyim, you get priests saying Yahweh, you get the witnesses, Jehovah. Why do they tempt fate like that? I'm sure somewhere there's a bishop starting a congregation for Yuahui. Leave it alone. Say the F word, say the S word, say the R word, retail, but leave Hashem's name alone. So, if you hear me say goddammit, or bested, or sons of bitch, or titties, goddammit, keep your talis on, they're just words. How can I talk about sex? My dear wife Miriam Libby and I have 19 and a half children. What else is there to talk about? I talk about life, death, lovely things, terrible things. What good is a rabbi if he doesn't live in the real world? If he doesn't grapple with real life issues? And that goes doubly true when you're a fictional rabbi like me. And perhaps you also ask, Rabbi, about the showering. I say, look, if you're around radio at all, you learn very quickly that no one, nobody on God's good earth smells like a DJ. There is an odor that radio people have, a sublime funkitude. If you mix a locker room, a litter box, something dead, and that smell you get on a hot day, if you're a man or a very odd woman, between the side of your testicles and your inner thigh, and even that does not approximate the perfume admitted by the children of Marconi. I don't know why. Go up and ask Dave why. Just not too close, for your own sake. But Dave, in all seriousness, I speak your name with almost the same reverence that I do the name I do not speak. Which is to say that when it comes to radio, D-A-V-E is nearly the same in my book as Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh in the other book. I will still say your name, Dave, but I will say it with respect and admiration for the 100 shows you've done and 1,000 more you have yet to do. So, on behalf of myself, my dear wife Miriam Libby, and our 19 and a half children, Nehemia, Josiah, Shloimi, Chana, Ribki, Yehuda, Moish, Yehezkel, Boruch, Avigdah, Yisroel, Hepzibah, Shaul, Aliza, Shimon, Gedalia, Naphtali the Elder, Naphtali the Younger, and Fred, by my first marriage, and the fetus Beryl, whom the doctors say is coming along nicely, have a 100th program, Dave's Gone By, success, blessings, discounts, and joy. Thank you. That's right, Joni. I turn you on all week long for a bunch of shows on WGBB, like Wednesday nights at 11 for psychic astrologer Joyce Keller, hosting radio's longest-running psychic advice show. She knew I'd say that. Thursday nights at 6, an hour before Dave's gone by, it's WGBB Tonight with Larry Davidson. And then, right after my show, Smooth Jazz, The Instrumental Invasion with Mike Shimeri at 8. Friday nights at 6, Bonnie D. Graham has advice about being single and singular on Long Island's dating. And things get wilder on the weekends with the Saturday Night Rock Block, starting at 7:30 with the Mr. Redman Music Show, up-and-coming Long Island rock bands, and a weekly countdown, followed by Mikey and Jimmy. It's a madhouse. It's a zoo. It's Mikey and Jimmy, Saturday nights at 9. And then, on Sundays at 7, Joe Salzone offers conservative politics with a sense of humor and an open mind on your world.
If you're driving into town, it's a dark
dial in AM 1240 WGBB for Joyce Keller Wednesday nights at 11, Larry Davidson Thursdays at 6, yours truly at 7, Mike Shimeri Thursdays at 8, Bonnie D. Graham Fridays at 6, The Rock Block Saturdays from 7:30 to 10, and Joe Salzone Sundays at 7.
Call me at the station, the lights are open.
There's a lot of people I'll be thanking on this episode of Dave's Gone By, including the engineers I've worked with and some of the folks who've been on the show, but someone that I thank every single week is my beloved and wonderful and terrific wife, Joyce, who is almost never actually on the program. You never hear her, but tonight we're going to make that exception because it is a special occasion. So, Joyce, say hi to the folks.
Hello, everyone.
And, let me ask you something. I mean, you were there at the beginning stages of Dave's Gone By when I was first thinking of doing it and bringing it to GBB. What did you think of the idea, really?
Well, since I did conceive of the name of the show, I think the name was a good invention. But I also thought the show was a lot of fun, and it was a vehicle for you to express your creativity.
And rage, yeah.
And rage in a positive way, and you could speak to many people.
Which is true. So what have you thought of it? I mean, you listen as often as you can. I know you teach and you do about 4 zillion different things, but you try and listen pretty often. So I know there's stuff you like, you don't like. What are your thoughts about the show?
Well, I would say over time, I think I've seen a lot of changes on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning, I remember the first show when we entered the studio and we saw Paul eating, juggling, and yelling, get out of the studio, get into the studio, disassembling machinery, and then plugging in someone's guitar.
Yeah.
And then you were quite nervous, and you had water in your hanky and several other, like 30 pages of script.
Right,
and you
right.
Like, what's this? I have 5 seconds. Give it to me now. And you had 27 CDs arranged, color-coded, and posted it.
That's right. Now, people should understand that a lot of times I pre-record shows now where I do the engineering myself, which takes a lot of the burden and the strain off, but back in the beginning, everything was timed to, like, every 5 seconds.
And they had a cat that was quite, not Joey's cat, but another cat that Paul and one of his friends had brought in, and we were holding the cat, and I remember the first thing they said to us was, we think the cat has fleas.
Right. And, you know, we have dogs of our own, so literally, as soon as we came home, we changed our clothes and, like, burned them because we didn't want to get fleas in the house. But it was fun, you know.
It was exciting.
Yeah,
it was exciting.
It's still fun for me. I mean, it's still pretty exciting.
I think now, though, you're very much professional. You're more like, in the beginning, it was more nervousness and things wouldn't work right and you were more frustrated and you would scream and yell and...
On the air, too, occasionally. No, not really.
But now it's finally produced, you have a production system, it's more, you know, the rough edges are off, it's more of a
it has its
show.
Own central nervous system, basically. But I'm still trying to get you to like Saul Solomon. Why don't you like the rabbi?
I find it anti-Semitic.
Wow.
Misogynistic.
Well, yeah.
If you could be ageist, sexist, or also probably very homophobic.
Yeah, I think the rabbi is sometimes all of these things and more.
It's an offensive caricature of a rabbi.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we can't end the interview on that note. So
I would say that I'm very proud of you and that you've come a long way, and that you've had many people who I didn't completely understand the famousness of them, but we've had a lot of famous people on the show. I mean, the Neil Sedaka is a big
I wouldn't call him a big fan, but
I mean, a big, and that you were on Dr. Demento, who was your childhood, boyhood hero.
That's true.
And the Neil Innes, right? And you had many Broadway people, and other Broadway people want to get on your show.
That's true.
You've been recognized by every mailman in our local district. The cable show with Joe.
That's right. I did a cable video that's with Joe Salzone. I forgot to mention
that. And the most exciting part, you had the man who does his own video show on.
Oh, yes. Let's make a video. Are we crazy or what?
Yeah. And the guy who does the peanut butter sandwich.
Oh, Art Paul Schlosser. That was yeah. Do you have one memory or one thing that you remember most or like most?
I would say probably everything. I mean, I do think...
Oh, thanks. My wife, ladies and gentlemen.
I was shocked when you had on the mother, Mama Ingalls, and she talked about making pee-pee in the river. That I thought was a little bit, you know...
It wasn't her. It was the little children on Little House on the Prairie were... Yeah.
Pee-pee in the river.
I kind of like that one for some reason.
I think they all were great. I particularly like the interviews, but I can't particularly place one as being the greatest one. I mean, the famous ones people like, but, you know, my favorite all-time sketch was the one about Halloween with putting the candy and poisoning the apples.
Right. That was on our first Halloween show. That's right.
I enjoyed that.
And pre-tampered yummies.
And I should also say for your father, he loves the one of the Professor Hootenanny who fixes the...
Yes. He talks about cloth.
Yes, yes.
In a very interesting way, yeah.
The punning, I know, that is a bit popular thing. But I think you're a very clever interviewer and you're enjoyable.
Well,
and you've become way more, you know, GQ David.
Well, thank you very much. It's Dave. And it's David to you, but it's Dave to the rest of the world, which owns me now. After the 100th show, I belong to the world. Unfortunately, now the world is controlled by George Bush, so, you know, I want it back. But,
yes, and we're actually taping this interview from a bunker in our basement, where we're making passports to flee the country.
That's right.
And both our puppies will be dressed in bonnets and be very ugly babies, so we can get them out without rabies quarantine.
But, you know, wherever we go, as long as I have you, I think I'll be okay.
That's very sweet, honey. And I'll give you the check after the interview.
Ladies and gentlemen, my wife, Joyce.
I am such a lucky man. I have her and this radio show, and all of you listening to this 100th episode of Dave's Gone By. I want to thank again my sponsors, Total Theater, Performing Arts Insider, Tasty Toasty Quiznos of Hewlett, and Copy Happy Hewlett Minuteman Press. Remember that mentioning Dave's Gone By at any of these establishments gets you 10% off. Also remember that on Tuesday, November 9th at the Hilton Hotel in Melville, the Long Island Railroad is holding its one and only hearing about proposed service cuts and fare hikes they're trying to float past commuters. Now, this is just a year and a half after the last round of exorbitant price jumps. So if you want to make your voice heard, November 9th, 4:30 in the afternoon in Melville, Long Island. I was going to do a whole long rant about it, but I don't have time. I can make my feelings known, however, by playing this song I wrote about the FCC, but it's just as applicable to the LIRR. There are many ways to say you. There are many ways to say go yourself. Like burn in hell, like take a flying leap, or I'd love to see your whole family in a flaming train accident and piled up in a heap. There are many ways to say you and your ugly children. There are many ways to say eat and die, like up yours, buddy, or kiss my ass, or it would be worth it to die in Auschwitz if I could just see you gassed. So many ways to express hate. So many ways. Isn't that great? We don't have to blaspheme or curse to wish a person illness and worse. There are many ways to say I could hurt you. There are many ways to call you a mother piece of... Like choke on your own blood, or drop dead, you jerk, or I hope an AIDS victim bites you and the chemo doesn't work. So many ways
so many ways, so many sucking ways to say you. Yes, there are many ways to say terrible, nasty things, but for you, my audience, only good things. My sincere gratitude, my thanks for your support, and my promise to keep bringing Dave's Gone By to you every Thursday night, 7 o'clock. Next week, Veterans Day, November 11th. Still deciding what to do on that show. You gotta tune in to find out. So until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz. Good night. You should all live to be 100, just like I have, and gone by. Thank you.